Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show full of publicity. AC Milan, I'm Paul Machin, Declan Carr and Ross Chanley join me in the studio for the countdown on this one. Yeah, Champions League action is about to come to an end, take a hiatus until February. Liverpool, we know, already qualified for the round of 16 and top of the group as well, but there is the little matter of sorting out second and third and therefore fourth place in this group, which is not really our concern, but we'll talk about that in a bit more in a moment. Plenty to get through. We're going to be talking about AC Milan. We're going to be talking about who's likely to line up for the Reds a little bit later on. We've also got a live draw very shortly for 2 days of our Advent calendar giveaways, our Club Legend Advent calendar giveaways. More details on that in a bit as well. But yes, Ross, it is the biggest, least important game of football in ages.
Yeah, I'm very jealous I'm not there, to be honest, Paul. It was one that came out of the calendar. You think, oh, San Siro, iconic stadium. Fortunately, Si's there getting some coverage for us, so that'd be good. I'm very jealous of him. But I'm very torn between what my thoughts of last game of going, just play the kids and the canteen staff and all those jokes. And turns out, Paul, that Jurgen Klopp was right and he knows what he's doing. And it worked out quite well that you've got to maintain momentum and keep people happy and keep them within rhythm. So I'm in two minds still whether what I'd do for this game. Obviously, like you said, it's still in between all the other sides. What happens? I don't think Klopp thinks like we do in sense of, fuck it, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the integrity of the game, which I think he's mentioned, which we all thought was just a mouthpiece and a clip, I think he actually means it.
Yeah, no, he does. But there's also a degree to which, Dec, he'll do whatever he wants to do. And there is a lot still riding on this group. I mean, the fact that AC Milan can still finish second in the group is mad when you think about it. But this is the issue that's going to be faced. It's the same one as the Porto one. It's a competitive game of football. We're all sat back going, well, Liverpool are done and dusted, but, you know, but there's bigger fish to fry as far as the Reds are concerned. But AC Milan have got, it's a do or die game of footy. They've got between no more European football, Europa League and a Champions League last 16 place potentially up for grabs here. So they're going to go for it. And if we don't match that, it's not even about losing. It's about what it does to the players who are on the field as much as anything else.
Yeah, I think if we feel the second string side, we could probably still win though. Like, if you'd have the likes of Tsimikas and Minamino and Origi, say, playing, but you still have Salah, because he seems to be, I don't want to touch words, injury proof, really.
Oh, every show.
You could have, there were ways to phrase that.
Probably put fucking jigs on him now, but
he's fit and firing.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think you don't want to get rid of Salah's momentum though. He seems to be in that good form that he's probably the one you keep in.
And he wants the golden boot.
Yeah, and probably in every competition. Wants the Ballon d'Or, don't you? Come on, said the other day. Yeah. He thinks he can win it one day. I did write the other week he can't win in 2022. I think the international tournament bias and stuff is too much. But if he gets a golden boot in both and then wins one or two, he might. But
the other thing as well, just think of what mood you were in on the 90th minute against Wolves. It was horrible. I mean, two moves in between 5 minutes could not be further apart. Now, we're saying it's a, I know that's a Premier League game and a lot was riding on it and Chelsea lost and all that stuff, but the players won't think like that. Like, the momentum and what they've got and their belief in, like, I don't want to go to Wednesday and go, oh, we've lost the game, and then go, oh, it doesn't matter, because it does. You know, no one wants to lose. Do you know what I mean? It's just a horrible feeling. So why not keep that happiness around by putting another game to bed and going, actually, we won 6-6.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. And that's the tricky thing, we talked about this because a lot of the conversations we had pre-Porto, I think, just apply just as much here. Obviously, the fact that it's away makes a slight difference because I don't think Jürgen wants to go to, wants to lose the luster of Anfield, you know, whereas an away game gives you a bit more of a free hit because, you know, you're not losing any home records and you're not damaging the mentality of 50,000 people who've travelled to watch your game of football be played, you know, for your
players. Players want to play in that stadium as well.
Absolutely. But it's you've got to be careful because if they're fighting for this and we put players out there who aren't properly motivated for it, you run the risk of people getting hurt. And that's something that needs to be said. And this is where you know, so if you say, it doesn't matter, and it's a 50-50 and you don't match a 50-50 with 50% of the intensity, you know what I mean, or whatever, you run the risk of injury and damage, and you're then hurting yourself for down the line. So Liverpool definitely need to make sure that they put a side out. And this might actually, we don't know what that means, because it might mean a slightly weaker side, but a more motivated side is actually more important almost in this game than putting our best 11 on the pitch. If there's a handful of them thinking, I just need to make sure I'm right for Aston Villa at the weekend.
I think, as you say, it's like a balance you've got to kind of strike. But I think it could be a good thing playing some of the, like, I want to say second string, but obviously they're all good players, like the likes of Tsimikas and Origi and stuff. It's like they're motivated. If they get that game, they're like, well, I can get a place in this side here if I perform that good.
Yeah.
Against, obviously, in Milan side, who were going for second, probably are a club that warrant the knockout of the European Cup.
Well, you know, but it goes both ways, doesn't it? Because the people that say, for example, first teamers, I'm not saying that, the ones that played at the weekend and Everton and stuff like that, they want to keep their place. Mm-hmm. So he says he wants to play this game. I'm playing it because I know we'll look over my shoulder. Yeah. You know, we're getting people coming back from, you know, like Cicater and Bobby's coming back and all those players and Tsimikas, like you mentioned before. If they do put a shift in, well, then your attitude alone has lost you a place in the side potentially for the weekend.
Yeah, like if I'm Joel Matip, say, and Kanate, say, he comes in and has a belter game, Kanate might get the nod in the league then. It's like, as you say, you've kind of lost your place then.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's a good thing. We're at the point of the season where hunger's still high. And Divock Origi, I think, typifies that from the weekend, where looks like he's maybe slipped down the pecking order behind Minamino in the last couple of weeks, and Minamino's done a good job in coming in, and now both of those lads are in a position where they'll be chomping at the bit to get a game, and particularly with AFCON coming up, you know, they're both going to be needed in January. And, you know, I remember Chris's point, I think that was the week, I don't think that was in the build up to the Porto game, but he made the point about starting to get these lads prepped and ready to go. This represents that. A couple of things that are quite interesting just in terms of how it might influence Liverpool's lineup, which we'll go into more depth on in part two, but this is the team that Liverpool started with against AC Milan at Anfield earlier on in the season. It was Alisson in goal. It was a back four of Trent, Matip, Gomez, Robertson, Fabinho, Henderson, Keita as the midfield three, Salah, Origi, Jota. So obviously we know that Jürgen's not beyond putting Divock Origi in against AC Milan first and foremost. He did it in the home game. It stands to reason that he might be more than capable of doing it in the San Siro. The only other thing that comes closest to referencing this one, Ross, is, and you go on about this quite a lot and have done for the last year, is the team we picked against Midtjylland last year. Dead rubber. We'd already secured progression to the last 16. And I think we do talk about this because it's the game where Diogo Jota gets injured and then misses 3 months of the season. So I've got the team there. We had Kelleher in goal. It was Costa, Tsimikas, Fabinho, Reece Williams, Trent Alexander-Arnold completed the back five. Takumi Minamino, Leighton Clarkson, and Naby Keita as the midfield. Jota, Origi, Salah was the front three. And just out of interest in terms of the bench, obviously Bobby and Mane were there and came on. Hendo came on, and Robbo, and even Billy Cometti got a couple of minutes at the end of that game as well. There's a chance that we do something a bit more like that this time around.
Yeah, again, it's the balance that Dak mentioned before, because there's those players that, if they don't get game time, and not in a game that doesn't matter, but there's an opportunity to play those fringe players to maintain their fitness. Because, you know, you mentioned, what, Kelleher in there, Morton probably, Ox, Origi, Taki, all those sorts of players, maybe Tsimikas at this point now, because Robertson's come back in. if they don't start this one, then is it going to be another 2-3 weeks before they do start?
You might
a game,
find one or two get a game, but I think particularly when you've got that Leicester League Cup quarter final coming in a couple of weeks just before Christmas, you'd expect big changes for that one. You've got an opportunity. That's probably your next opportunity after this to make more than three deliberate changes to your team. So it might be a worthwhile thing where we might not reap the benefits today, or sorry, certainly on Tuesday, but you maybe tip the balance too far in terms of changes, but it means that those lads are just a little bit more ready when it comes to the Leicester game.
I think there's five players who I think get in the team every week, like for a full strength game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Salah, Thiago, Trent, Alisson, Van Dijk. I think all the rest are obviously kind of interchangeable. Obviously, you've got Jota. Oh, sorry, yeah. Completely forgot about Fabinho, yeah. He obviously
Henderson.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think, obviously, I think like Henderson can be rotated. He's getting on a bit. He's a bit, can be injury prone. I suppose Thiago can too. But I think the way Thiago is playing at the minute is just sensational. So I think he's undroppable. But I think the other positions are quite like rotatable. In a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'd keep out like the likes of Trent and Thiago and Salah and stuff. And obviously like...
Take you to set as many of your essentials out, I guess.
Yeah, I think like obviously if we lose Thiago, Trent and Salah, I think they're the most important three. I'm obviously probably Fabinho.
Mm-hmm. We've got quite a lot of important players when you start to
talk about them. There's an argument that goes...
There's four that I think if you lose, your league season's fucked.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's a bad point, and it's something that he definitely needs to insulate. But there's also a point where everyone now plays. I mean, this is the last week, isn't it? Where before everyone starts playing two games a week,
mm-hmm.
The pressure. There's a big pressure on the Aston Villa game, you know, particularly because we got how close a run thing the Wolves was. So I do wonder whether we will go a little, if nothing else, we might go a little weaker than we would normally.
Yeah, 100%.
But from here on in. You can do whatever you want because everyone's in the same boat. Every team in the Premier League is in the same boat from Sunday or from the weekend onwards where it's two games. It's a game every three or four days.
The ones that have been knocked out of the Carabao Cup already. But I think there's an argument to say we'll go stronger in that than we will do for this because it's a quarter final and it's a game that matters. So to speak. So yeah, I think with Aston Villa, Newcastle, Spurs on the horizon, and because it's so tight and it's so close, we saw teams around us, and I said this last week, can drop points. You've got to be ready to capitalise, and you need your strongest team for that, for me.
Yeah. Let's have a quick look at the Serie A table, and just to get a feel for AC Milan, currently riding high at the top of the league, a point ahead of City rivals Internazionale, and two, I've just gone the most hipster pronunciation, I apologise, what a bellend. 2 points ahead of Napoli, and 4 ahead of Atalanta, down in fourth. Juve fifth, mate. Yeah. 11 points behind them, which is mad. Last five has been a little bit inconsistent. They've won the last two, lost two before that and drew the one before that, so yeah, not completely unbeatable by any stretch. And I guess my reading of AC Milan from playing them was, and look, they gave us a hell of a game at Anfield in the end, but we were miles better than them until we got a bit complacent. If they're the best team in Italy, and I kind of have this with Atletico, it's going to be interesting to see how much we can change here. Can we make heavy changes and still be better than the best team in another country?
I certainly hope so. And that word complacency, I like to think we've learned from that. You know, obviously, you can shut West Ham and Brighton in there as well for that reason. But those players that are out on the pitch need to knock that on the head as well. And it'd be interesting to see the likes of maybe James Milner might start this game for that leadership and to make sure everybody is concentrating. But to your point, you know, I think we did it when we won the Champions League. Did we not beat the best team in like Spain, Portugal?
Well, you almost always end up doing that, don't you? Yeah. Because that's the nature of the quality of the teams in the league.
When we won it in 2005, you not beat like Juventus with the best team.
We beat the champions elect of like every country in Europe on the way to winning that.
If we win this, like I don't think anyone does anyway. But when the draw comes out next Monday the 13th, no one wants Liverpool.
No, you're right. I don't think anyone wants us either way. But it's nice. This is what football, kind of what Porto did for me psychologically. Because we obviously made a few changes for that to still be able to just win that relatively comfortably. I thought it was another one where it's a flex. It shows the world that if you can make four or five changes to your 11 and still have a really good competitive game of football against a very good side who are clearly far more in need of the win, then Jesus Christ, you know, like, who stopped? Because to the point, you've beaten the Spanish champions already twice. This, you know, AC Milan could win Serie A this season because the top of the league, it's perfectly, they're perfectly capable of doing that from here. Yeah, that really just does speak to our quality.
It's not a concern, but I would say if we make it like a heavily rotated side, what message does that send to AC Milan? Because I think when you line up, you know, on the pitch and you're facing Van Dijk and Fabinho and all those players that you mentioned before, that's like, oh, fucking hell. Well, whereas it's like, you know, no offence to these players at all, by the way, but if AC Milan looking, oh, it's Kelleher and Nico Williams and Nat Phillips and all these players, there's a psychological edge there of going, okay, we're not facing those big lads. You almost give them like a boost of going, like, well, we're not taking you seriously or whatever.
The one thing that we're going to have to face off against potentially is serial football bore Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who I find the most tiresome human being outside of the Conservative Party on planet, certainly in football. And like, bear in mind, I've been in award ceremonies where Gordon Taylor's done speeches, and Jesus Christ. But like, oh my God, it's just like, don't take the microphone off him. But Zlatan, I just, again, the joke isn't funny anymore, like, honestly. But if he does play or Giroud plays, I think it's an interesting test. You know, he's been in and out. I mean, he's 1,000 years old at this point, so he's obviously going to be in and out. They've got good players there. Brahim Diaz has probably been their other best player so far this season in terms of goals and assists as well. As we said, Giroud's in there. Zlatan's in there. If we choose to rotate defensively, it's a big... For someone like Konate, as an example, like, what a wonderful test for him. You know, I've no doubt Van Dijk and Matip can handle them, but to give Konate that and go on, mate, go and see how you can go up against some of the, you know, historically best strikers in the game. Brilliant.
I think it's a shame Gomez isn't for it, is he?
I know, it feels like he's back. I think he's on the fringes of it, but I do would, yeah, I would.
Could be crucial for obviously, like you said, there's a lot of fixtures in a coming thick and fast, like Villa, I think it was Villa, Newcastle, Tottenham, Leicester in the cup.
Yeah. I'd have loved the Gomez-Konate partnership for this one and just hand them that trust.
Yeah. I think if Gomez can come back anywhere near the level he was, it's scary for the rest of the movies fighting for the place with, really.
Yeah, no, definitely.
He'll play a big nut and he can headbutt the lion out the stadium.
Oh, my God. Nat Phillips up against Zlatan Ibrahimovic and us getting a clean sheet might be more sweet than anything, even if we only draw that 0-0. Yeah. I think I'd probably prefer that. But Zlatan, just like Nat Phillips can start referring to himself in the third person.
Yeah. The man who conquered Zlatan.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And we can change that, like him in the Baresi picture of holding the Ballon d'Or up, and we can change it like Zlatan.
Holding Zlatan's head.
Magic. Right, we are going to talk about Liverpool's 11 and who we think should definitely be playing in this game after the very short break that we have. Lumen. Anyway, I've got a trivia question, which I in no way hastily shit out. Name Milan's starting 11 from the Istanbul game. Simple as that. Check you back in a minute. Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoy this podcast and the other podcast that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Redmen TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com. Sign up there today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, welcome back. You might have noticed on the end of that it said the free month code is there. The free month code has stopped, unfortunately. But fear not, we've got a wonderful thing going on right now. We're going to give you the trivia answer, and then we're going to do a live draw for Sunday and today's giveaway prizes, because we're waiting here on Sunday. It's double bubble today, and we're going to give you a little look at what tomorrow's will be as well. But the trivia question, gentlemen, name AC Milan starting 11 from Istanbul 2005, the Atatürk Stadium. Can we go there?
Go on, I'll have a go.
Go on.
In goal, Dida.
Yeah.
I'll do the right back in a minute because it's completely gone out of it. Cafu, yeah, Cafu. How's that gone out of it? Stam.
Yep.
Nesta.
Yep.
Maldini, left back.
That's right.
Gattuso.
Yep.
Pirlo.
Yep.
Kaká.
Yep.
Crespo, Shevchenko.
And you're missing a midfielder.
Yeah. Who am I missing?
He was substituted out for Serginho in the 85th minute.
Just clue.
That was a great clue.
Really wasn't.
Seydorf.
Clarence Seydorf.
Oh, yeah, I was going to miss on Seydorf.
You said it wasn't a great clue. You got it straight away. if you got John Dahl Thomason or Rui Costa, you were incorrect because they both came on as substitutes. Thomason for Crespo and Rui Costa came on for Gattuso.
That's one of the world's best starts ever.
Yeah.
What was the result of that game?
Genuine. Liverpool won on penalties after 3-3 draw. After extra time.
I thought we had Vladimir Smita and Milan Baros in that side.
The fifth of the European Cups. Yeah. There you go. Right, Sal, if you got that, you're brilliant. Well done. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and that should have improved it immeasurably. As mentioned in the break, we have got 25 days worth of giveaways for our Club Legend subscribers on Redmen Plus. Those people go over to theredmentv.com, join as a Club Legend, not only get access to all of the content on there, but yeah, we've been doing near daily prize draws. We have had loads of our Christmas sweatshirts to give away. We've got two prizes we're going to draw for now. They are, gentlemen, if you would like to show them, the Divock Origi Christmas Time Blues Cryarsing Red Men Sublime jumper and the author signed edition of our Hendo 10 book as well. If you are a Club Legends subscriber, then you are going to get your name onto the Wheel of Names, which I have pre-prepared and ready to go. Shall we do the first?
Yep.
What? You're looking good there, mate.
Thanks.
Right, we're going to do it. We're going to spin it. It is spinning. Let's see what we have got. Oh. Scouse 101. Congratulations. Brilliant stuff. You are the winner of our Divock Origi Christmas sweatshirt. We'll be getting in touch with you to send you size and postage details over for that. Right, sound. Okay, that's number one done. Now we're going to do our second draw for the author-signed edition of our Hendo 10 book. This deck is expertly modelling there. Do you want to just give it a little page flick there, mate, so we can just see just how... I mean, that was terrible. 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 It's a great book, and it is up for grabs in our next prize draw. Right, let's give it a click. Let's give it a spin. Off we go. Longer than you think. Oh, hey. 91. Hey. Congratulations. Very huge, massive, big congratulations to Durham 91 there. You have just won yourself the author signed edition of Hendo 10 Years of Red, the incredible book that we produced in honour of the Skipper's decade at Liverpool Football Club. Those are those prizes. We have got another prize tomorrow, which is being done live on the podcast. It is that. We can get a little closer look at the signed Michael Owen medal. So, yeah, I did an event with Michael Owen at the end of last season. We got to sign a bunch of bits and pieces, but it is a football medal signed by former Liverpool centre-forward, Ballon d'Or winning Michael Owen. So that will be getting drawn on tomorrow's Red Men Free podcast. So tune in for that, or tune into our socials, of course, to keep up to date with everything that's going on, in case you weren't privy to all of this. If you want to go over to theredmentv.com, as you can see, if you're watching this on YouTube right now, we've got the competition running. Some amazing prizes there still to go. There's a signed Michael Owen picture there. There is a signed Mona Nema, who is Liverpool's head of nutrition book, and there is the signed Kenny Dalglish, Liverpool, framed, signed, yellow pinstripe, classic Liverpool away shirt, signed by the king himself. There's a signed Jordan Henderson print, there's mugs, books, there's socks, there's loads of amazing stuff. So if you go over there, sign up or upgrade your existing subscription from the club captain tier to club legend, you're automatically put on the wheel, entered into those daily draws, and in addition to all the boss content and access to our club legend Discord chat, you get a chance to win amazing prizes. There's over £1,000 worth of stuff that we're giving away through Christmas, which is a bit stupid when I say it out loud. Could just sell it. We could literally just sell it all, and you know, I make ourselves £1,000 out of a boss Christmas party. But no, we're giving it away to club legend stuff. So yeah, get involved with all of that good stuff. Right, let's crack on with the show and talk about the mighty Reds. Ross,
yeah,
I can't see how there's not heavy changes for this game.
Yeah.
Now, the question is it Tyler Morton FC again? Because if he's good enough to start the games that he started already and be involved in the games that he's been involved in, it's a bit mad that he won't be, but we do have slightly more available players than we did when we played Porto a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think the Tyler Morton FC thing before was just like a throwaway of just play all the kids, where I don't think Tyler Morton FC is that. And I think he put in a decent shift enough to warrant him starting these games. Like, if he does start, I'm not concerned, I'm not worried. It's not like it's just a child just playing. He's actually really good at football.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's doing. Despite what I said earlier,
can I just shock you? Yeah, despite what I said earlier,
I'm going to play the children. But I think this, like Dex said before, if you make wholesale changes, I think there's still enough there to go out and win there. So I don't know, Keller wasn't available last time, he is for this one. I think he starts. The centre-backs is hard because we don't know where people are up to. I know we said Joe Gomez is close and ready for this week, but where they start the game is too soon. I think the same for Bobby, I think he said, so he won't do that.
Keita,
it's still a good opportunity. We mention every time the amount of subs that you get to use. So, just, you know, you can start with a rotated side, but you can put Bobby in for half an hour, you can put Gomez in for half an hour. It's the ideal opportunity to build the blocks for them for the rest of this month. So I'd play Tyler Morton. That's only if the youth team aren't playing, because I know they have their competition to...
Well, they will be playing, but it's where... obviously, we've not used them in that. We didn't use them against Porto. We used them in the main team against Porto. In fact, I've got the side deck from the Porto game. Just to refresh people's memories, it was a couple of weeks ago. The back four was Nico Williams, Joel Matip, Ibra, Hima Kanate, and Kostas Tsimikas. It was Ox, Morton, Thiago as the midfield three, Salah, Takumi Minamino, Sadio Mane. I know we've got this, like, play the kids thing, but Kay Gordon's not eligible and Mateusz Mazlowski's not eligible, so there's two really exciting ones that you would do. Elliot's injured and Curtis Jones is injured, so you've not got... when you get beneath them, you're really starting to get into lads who are probably not at the level. And then when you add into that Milner needs games in particular, Oxlade-Chamberlain's now come out the side, so he probably could do with coming back in there at some point. My point, I'm kind of driving it, it wouldn't shock me to see a similarish team to that. Maybe you swap Taki will move to the left and Divock will start instead of Mane or something. Thoughts?
Yeah, potentially. I think the back five there was pretty much what we're going to go with in the San Siro. I think probably, obviously, you wouldn't have Alisson in goal. I think, like Ross said, you'd have Kelleher, I think. But he wasn't fit last time, was he? So we obviously went with Alisson. Yeah. But I think go with Kelleher this time and have that Neco, Matip, Kanate and Tsimikas back five. I think midfield, I'm not sure you risk Thiago or Fabinho myself. I think Morton, Henderson and maybe Ox makes sense.
Well, the fact that Ross, the Hendo comes off, you know, against Wolves, whereas, you know, Thiago and Fabinho finish it. So if you're going to go again on the one who's had the slightly less minutes, but
possibly
might towards that.
But is that managing him for the rest of this month? You know, we all know of his injuries and going, well, just if we can take him off in a game where we can afford to, we don't need to play for this one. I'd go Morton, Milner, Ox for this one. These centre-backs is interesting because I was thinking Kanate, Phillips, but then if you're rotating so many centre-backs, have you got a leader there or someone with experience at least?
And that was the issue with Kanate and Matip, I thought, against Porto, was Matip's the senior centre-half, but he's not naturally that. And I thought there was a couple of moments where he had to catch himself and be like, oh no, actually I'm supposed to be the one who shouts at people when we're not in the line that we're meant to.
He shouts at everything else in the world for his own place.
The sky. Yeah.
Lines.
Absolutely brilliant. But I mean, this is the problem. I think the Porto game was the answer to the question of how many changes can you make to our first team and still be better than your opponent. There's a tipping point. The good thing that we've got going for us, Dec, is that you can use five subs. So if we actually really want to win this game, there's nothing wrong with, and again, kind of what we did last time out, Fabinho, Milner, Henderson, Robbo and Origi come into the Porto game off the bench. We actually have got options to do that. So you could start, I think that's a pretty decent shout, Morton, Ox and Milner as a midfield three. And if it's not quite working for you, well, you've given Jordan Henderson between 40 minutes and 60 minutes off, and maybe then he could come into it.
I think that kind of works as well for like keeping the levels up, keeping the fitness, but also like the match sharpness up, because obviously missing a whole game is like sort of, they're not going to be used to that because they're playing 2 a week from the next week, like you said. So maybe it is a good idea to do that.
Milner suspended. Thank you so much to our live comments.
Oh, Christ.
He clearly did this because
he
wanted to have an extra few days off. Desperate to play against Villa, clearly. So,
let's dub that out. I said Henderson.
That takes Milner out of the equation. Thank you so much, live chat, and all the 100 people who have just been screaming into their keyboards live while we're here. No Milner. Does that mean
I'd still play him?
Take the fine or whatever.
Like 10 men, be fine. Okay, the Henderson then.
Yeah, Henderson. Yeah. You ask Henderson to go again.
Yeah, he got subbed off. It's Wolves.
I was just thinking ahead of the game.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I think we've worked that one out pretty well there. I think you need to have a little bit of experience just running through it. The only other one for me is that I don't think Mo Salah will want to miss this game. And I did get that sense of Porto, like you got that feeling from him, like he told Jürgen, no, I'm playing here because I'm playing, I'm scoring.
I'm happy for him.
Sorry, but there's a bit where he, early on, there's a couple of 50-50s that he kind of shits out of because he's clear, Jürgen's gone, you can do it, but don't get injured, lad. Otherwise, I'm going to batter you if you do. I wonder whether this is the game where Jürgen goes, no, I'm putting my foot down here. I know you want to get the golden boot, but there's more games to come. Because, bring it back to Pajak's point from last time, he's not going to be here during January. He's not. Yeah. Yes, so you want to start playing your lads who are going to be, and there's not going to be loads of opportunities to do that.
No, and the way we always reference the Michelin game is because someone got injured, and the Porto game was sound because, okay, it was fine, and I don't want to be sat here on Wednesday morning, again, going, Salah got injured and didn't need to play. It's, you know, how many times can you take that risk when you don't need to? Yeah, I know, I'm happy for him to play, but...
You want him to get injured in... just for like a week or two in
tail
end of December. Like, you know,
Salah's injured.
Salah played the Carabao Cup on his own.
go on, mate.
I think it's like he'll want to play, obviously, to maximise his goal tally or his assist tally at the end of the season. And I think maybe you do it. Maybe you get the most out of him before he does go to AFCON. Because as you said before, if you take him out, then maybe he blanks the next game as well because he hasn't had that like...
Maybe he's got a point to prove in Italy as well. You know, obviously he had a great time out there, but like, you know, I'm on the world stage now. Look how far I've come.
I think he's got a point to prove in every game because he wants to win the Ballon d'Or. So he wants to play in every game and he wants to do it on the biggest stage and go into the San Siro and doing it a pretty big stage, regardless of how important we feel the game is from a Liverpool perspective. But I think this is one of those situations where Jürgen has to step in the best interest to the player and the squad, because... You're right, Salah's going away in January and maybe even the end of December. We don't know just yet exactly what that looks like. So, and you want to manage him for the whole season, but he's going to play, he's out of our control the second he goes to the Egypt squad. You want to put your foot to the floor now, and I want Salah available for us. You know, I want as much out of Salah in the limited time we have until that point. So I'd be saying to Salah, I'm sorry, there's literally, I wouldn't even be taking him. I'd be leaving them at home for this one and letting him rest up, get as much back into them legs as possible, and saying, you don't want to have this one, but you go flat out, and maybe even consider him for the League Cup. Because if we really want the League Cup, if we really want to get to those semi-finals, then again, play him in that because you don't know what he could get injured at AFCON, and we've decided to protect him in the build up to it.
Yeah.
This is the only game and the Carabao Cup game are the only games he doesn't need to play in between now and
if he just pick something up or he puts himself more into the red zone when he doesn't need to. Yeah. It's great wanting the Ballon d'Or and the Golden Boot, but if you put yourself in the red against AC Milan, you're not there for Tottenham, Newcastle and Aston Villa. What's the point?
I wonder whether there's something here then where you go Jota, Minamino, Origi, and they all play in the same positions for us, which is a little bit annoying. They all do a job in the nine and they all do a job from the left, and I don't know, it's a bit of a miss. Unbalanced there, but I'd probably go Jota right, Tacky left, Divock middle, and then you can rotate them round a little bit if you need to, and say that there's our front, obviously Bobby to come back in again, who might yet be on the bench for this one, and get these lads playing together just to get a sense for it or a feel for it.
Got to try something because like I said, the opportunity to do so was this and Leicester. And the pressure's going to be on them. So, I mean, we need them fit as well, funny enough. Yeah. Maybe you don't play them in case they get injured.
We had a couple of super chats in while we were chatting earlier on. Connor McMullen with the 449. Thank you so much, Connor. It says, Costas deserves a start. Also would give Origi a start and Tacky, etc. Yeah, I think Costas is nailed on for this. I don't see any reason. Yeah. Although, you know, look, Robbo's back here and he's in good form. But there's an argument that he's now finding form because of that competition. So I think this is a prime opportunity for Shimakas.
There's loads of calls to play both in a few games that I've seen. Like put one of them left wing. I wouldn't do that myself, but you put Robert. Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's a bit dodgy.
Because they might get injured, or just because don't play them there.
I just think you don't need to play both. I think you've already got options at left wing, haven't we? Really,
we've still got. We do this because we're obviously we've got no one like Salah. No one remotely, in that league. No one has. No one in the world has. No. But obviously losing him and Mane. But to the point, we have still got four other first team lads for those four or three places. Now, don't get me wrong, there might be a break glass solution down that left-hand side. If you're whipping balls in for Divock or something late on in a game, having Tsimikas's delivery and even from set pieces is not a bad thing for that.
Well, as I say to Tacky as well, if you can't get him behind a left-back.
But you've got Kate Gordon there, and I think he's more like, we'll want to get him game time, I think. I think we're a little unlucky just because he's not been registered at the club long enough, which is why he can't play in this game, but he'll defo play in the League Cup, I'd imagine. So, we'll have to see on this end. Trick Josh as well, who won one of our prizes the other day.
Check your emails, Josh. Check your emails.
Said, I would play for the result against AC that makes it most probable that Atleti don't qualify past the group stage as the table pans out. Yeah, have an eye on the live scores and make sure that Atletico finish bottom of their Champions League group would be absolutely splendid. Yeah. For a number of reasons, because also, if Real Madrid and Barcelona manage to progress or going through the competition, Atleti not having European football, give them a bit more of a kicking in the league, so they're a bit more fatigued when it comes to it, whatever.
I'm just checking they weren't the 6 o'clock kickoff. Or us for that matter as well.
But it's an interesting one. What does the manager do and how does he how brave is he? Because there's just that Lingard and Midtjylland thing hanging over there, where I don't know really what much more we could have done in that. Like, the point is, people remember, like, because Jota got injured, we shouldn't have played, but he was our fourth choice forward at that point. He had to be rotated in, and as we discussed earlier, we'd made a lot of changes for that team, so there's only so much you can do unless you're into a world where you're putting Milner in the front three, just because he can.
And suspended Paul.
But to the point of those things where you're just throwing bodies into positions for you put Nico Williams right wing, and you put Milner right back, because he's suspended.
I just don't want to live in a world where we're sat here, like I said, and like on Wednesday morning, and like we're still referencing Midtjylland, which was what, 2 seasons ago? I don't like.
Last season, but that's fine.
Was it?
Diogo Jota, mate.
Yeah,
last season.
Oh my god,
time's such a mad thing these days.
With the pandemic, it's just all seen to go together.
Let's have a little look at how the groups are panning out at the moment, heading into the final group where we Group A, Man City and PSG have already secured their places on top, and second in that group means PSG will be very much in the hat for us in the 16, as we see there Liverpool, Porto, Milan and Atletico in that order in Group B. Ajax have absolutely smashed that group. Stay everywhere. Sporting, Bayern Munich, but we're scrapping out Bayern Munich. Dortmund are in a world of hurt there. It seems incredibly unlikely that they'll get out of
they
that group.
They can't, can they? I don't think.
Yeah, they'd have to have a goal swing of something insane to be even come close to that. Real Madrid and Inter Milan are already out of Group D. Bayern are out of Group E. Barcelona could still finish third if Benfica get a result in that final game.
If I was Bayern, I'd be playing everyone, Lewandowski, everyone, because the chance to knock Barcelona out of the competition.
Yeah,
is because obviously they're not as good as they used to be.
Yeah,
but it's a random competition, isn't it? Like, yeah, anyone can.
Yeah, definitely. That group, the Group F there, Manchester United are through, Villarreal or Atletico are technically young boys, although again on goal difference unlikely to be them in that one. Group G, Lille, Salzburg, Sevilla and Wolfsburg, any of those teams could actually get through, and any of the teams could technically not as well. One of my group, that is, and Chelsea and Juve tied on 12 points at the top of Group H.
Is Group G the real group of death then?
It would appear so. Yeah. That is the most Europa League group there's ever been. Lille, Salzburg, Sevilla, Wolfsburg, and they're all scrapping out to find out who will be the Europa League team moving forward.
The last shittest in this
definitely. As we've seen in terms of the games, then the big ones to watch out for. Chelsea travelling to Zenit, I think, is a really good one for us, you know, given Ross, they're in that little sticky run of form at the moment. They're through. Obviously, they'll want to finish top of the group, just to finish top of the group. Juventus hosting Malmo. You'd imagine Juventus will piss that, although they're obviously not as good domestically this season. But the fact that Chelsea have to go all the way to Zenit and get kicked everywhere by Dejan Lovren is what I'm looking for here.
Hopefully, this is a favour, yeah.
In what I can guess will just be a snow-covered pitch. So not only is it fucking miles
away. Or one of them mad plastic pitches.
It's just basically cold. But that's one of the things that we look out for as soon as the group games come out. Like, who are we playing and where is it? How far have we got to travel? What day is it on? So it's not ideal for anyone. I know that they're through already. I think they see the top of the group regardless of whatever happens. Mm-hmm. But they've still got a field of these decent team out there, haven't they? So
it's currently minus 17 in St. Petersburg. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
You think it's cold in Liverpool?
It's a Chelsea team all in onesies.
Jesus Christ, how is it anywhere that cold, Christ almighty?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, fine. Good luck to them. Yeah,
who did he play afterwards in the league?
Oh, that's a good point, actually. Nice. Yeah, have a quick look at
sunny, that. Sunny Southampton, probably.
Yeah, good luck to them. Yeah, they probably play Norwich again. They have got Leeds United at home on the Saturday.
Not an easy game.
Hard-pressing, rubbish Leeds United. But interesting stuff. Definitely want to keep an eye out.
With Bamford back, though. On firing as well. He scored a bit of a lucky goal, obviously, but still scored.
You just have to dance past some ice cubes since you're off.
Absolutely. Eth Shamble or Sam. I think he's talking about the Salah stuff here. Saying Paul, he can do a Coutinho and say he hurt his back and not send him to AFCON. This is the thing, though. We do this, by the way. We need to be careful because Jürgen nearly got in trouble for this for an offhand remark. Mohamed Salah wants to play in the African Cup of Nations. Like, we convinced him not to go to the Olympics because he goes, it's football. Like, you know what I mean? Don't bother your ass with the Olympics unless it doesn't matter.
That's
like,
small competition, Paul.
No. But in terms of the football side of things, you know, it's an under-23s tournament, isn't it? With the overage players. Mohamed Salah wants to go and win the AFCON. And if he wants to win the Ballon d'Or, he's probably going to need to go and win the AFCON with Egypt as well. So, you know, as much as we're going, tell him to sack it off and all that, Salah will do it. I mean, look, Salah went to the World Cup with one arm. After the Champions League, after the Champions League final, so in Kiev, we can have a laugh about it.
Not happening.
And Stuart was saying, Paul, when will your sweatshirt be back in stock? I don't know. I did not know it was out of stock, but keep checking on redmanmerch.com for all that stuff anyway. Right, score predictions, Ross.
1-1.
1-1.
2-1 Liverpool.
Yes.
Got it overnight.
2-0 Liverpool.
Nice. I feel bad now.
You're a bad person.
Back in the Reds.
It's a mad one, this, isn't it? Because Liverpool could well not win this game because AC Milan are good, as they've seen. You know, they've taken points where I don't think anyone expected them to at times, and they've got a lot to play for. But it'd be interesting if Liverpool can engineer a win here with a team that is at worst, at best, I should say, going to be as rotated as the Porto one, then like I don't see who stops us in this competition. Because if we can beat the best teams in Portugal, Spain, and Italy with a team, with a second string team, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, let us know your score predictions in the comments section underneath. If you want more from us, do check out Redmen Plus. Got so much stuff going on this week. There is the Around the League show, which will be live on Monday afternoon. There is the debate show on Wednesday morning, which is always good fun, delving into some serious topics, some lighthearted topics, but yeah, always a good laugh. Neil Jones is going to be in with us on Thursday as well, giving his insights into all the stories around Liverpool Football Club. We have got our Exploring the Derelict Melwood feature that's just gone out. I went behind the scenes at Liverpool's former training camp. It's all overgrown and there's bits been pulled off the walls and stuff. If you, like me, I love urban decay. I love stuff that had a purpose that doesn't have a purpose anymore. I desperately want to go to the old Camelot and have a look around. That's a very niche 80s, 90s child reference for this country. But yeah, so that's, if you want to go and see what's happened to Melwood since the Reds left, and that video's there right now as well. And there's Oppo previews. The instant match reaction is the hour after, immediately after this game. Final word show, which we've just done for the weekend at the Divock Origi show. So if you want 60 minutes talking about how amazing Divock Origi is, check that out now. But that's all streaming right now on Redmen Plus. Go to redmentv.com. Two tiers there. If you're a club captain, you get access to all the content. If you're a club legend, you get all the content, plus our Discord group, plus free merchandise, and you're entered into those amazing prize draws, which are happening every single day leading up to the signed King Kenny Liverpool shirt. My word.
Breathe. Whew. That was pure Ace Ventura, that.
Oh, yeah. Alright, I'm going to have a lie down after all that and catch me breath again. Thank you so much to Declan, to Ross, and to you guys watching at home as well. You're absolutely awesome, and of course the podcast listeners as well, you're equally as awesome. You just, you know, don't use as many of your senses to consume our content, but that's fine. Yeah, plenty of stuff for you over on Redmen Plus as well, and we'll see it all very soon. Ta-da.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.